black guy I saw in the news conference, ain't you?
Yeah, that's me.
This is car 15. I'm gonna need backup. I've got a stolen vehicle here.
But this is my car.
Suspects are getting belligerent.
What?
Officer down.
I know what you're thinking. Two episodes in 1 week? What the fuck is going on? Well, we got a special guest here tonight. If he would like to introduce himself.
Hello, everybody. It is me, the king of the NFW. Nudie's here. What's up?
No love.
Yay.
I know. Hell is frozen over, huh, Scott?
Yeah, I know, right? The one who says he can't listen to my show is on my show. How the tables have turned. Plus, we got our gay ass co-host, Jake the Snake.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Talking about you.
He had a mystery guest over last night, and they were on the couch together.
Gay ass. That's a strange way to say best ever.
Yeah, I mean he does all the editing for the show, so. You get the bitch at him all the time. And I'm your host, Scott. Tonight we are doing some Kolchak episodes, and that is why we have Nudie on. He is the king of Kolchak.
I wouldn't go that far, but all right.
Just go with it, god damn it.
I'm going with it.
Just takes the compliment. Jeez.
The king of Kolchak is here.
There you go.
Embrace it.
As you can imagine, well, short turnaround, well, not a whole lot to say in this opening segment. Somebody's going to get their ass whooped in fantasy this week, I know that.
Yes, you are, so quit talking shit now, because you'll be crying on Monday.
We will see.
I'm a 10-point favorite, bitch.
That shit don't mean nothing.
First place, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, fucking, what is it, Jared or Craig or whoever I was facing last week had like 30-point advantage over me, but I still kicked his ass.
Yeah, but my team is better than his, so. Jake's team sucks.
No
half,
thing.
Half my players came from Jake.
Yeah, no,
thank you for Antonio Brown, by the way.
No, see, you're benching Brady. Hmm.
Well, yeah, he keeps getting sacked every 5 seconds. And Carson Palmer is on fire, so I'm taking a chance with Carson Palmer tonight against Minnesota.
Well,
you never know what Minnesota D you're going to get.
Well, I'm hoping he throws a bunch of touchdown passes to David Johnson and John Brown. Ha, ha, ha.
Either way, you're still going down, so whatever.
Well, we shall see what happens with that.
From the entire Channel 4 news team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Ah! Let's see, well, with news stories, well, there was just a tad bit of news stories. I mean, nothing really much to talk about. Well, Resident Evil, the final chapter, got wrapped. Can't wait to not watch that one.
I watched all of them. I'll watch that one.
Yeah, I got him the same way. You know? I mean, I didn't mind the last one. I think they're going a little too overboard, but, you know, it's a movie. What can you do?
It's always nice to watch Jovovich run around half naked or in tight spandex.
I could just look up those pictures. Well, more news about the Mummy remake. Apparently, Sofia Boutella, and if that name doesn't sound familiar, she was the Gazelle Shook in Kingsman. Well, she's in talks to be the Mummy herself.
Female mummy?
Yep.
Jamie's mummy's a mummy.
The last thing I want to talk about is apparently there is a possibility that they'll do a Silence of the Lambs seasons of Hannibal, even though it's ended, but they're still wanting to do something with that. And I say,
just let the show die.
No, fuck you. Fuck you up your ass. You stupid ass with a cactus.
I was out after I watched two seasons and that was it. I was done.
Hey, and also as long as Katie returns too.
You can Google her.
Well, and that's all I really want to talk about. So, Scott, watch anything between now and Monday?
This sucks. Change it.
Yeah, I have, actually. I finished off those last two seasons of American Dad.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I watched 9 seasons in about the span of a week.
Oh, wow.
God, do you work?
No, I don't.
Oh, no. You're lucky.
Let's see here now. I've been watching some Cheers. Trying to finish up that series again. I had to restart it because, you know, I got like halfway through it and I just fucking stopped watching it all together. So I restarted that series. Not too much else. I mean, I think that's it.
Okay. Hey, Nerdy, you watched anything since the last time I talked to you?
No, nothing really major. I've just been watching my TV shows, getting caught up with The Flash and Arrow and all them good things. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Does anybody else watch Supernatural? Or?
Yeah, I watched that too. Yeah. I had just started it before Jake said you guys were ready.
Yeah, I still have yet to get caught up on it.
It's a lot of seasons.
Yeah, I know. Well, last time I left off with season 5, so...
It's lasted a lot longer than I think the creators of the show thought it would last.
Yeah. And plus, I'm binge-watching so many other shows. I don't know how to binge-watch very well.
Well, did you see Ghost? You went and saw Krampus, right?
I was going to get to that. Well, right. just wait.
Jake, what have you seen?
Well, let's see. Well, Monday night, when I was watching the... first 20 minutes of Monday Night Game, I was like, this is too boring. So I went on Netflix, watched this movie called Exeter. Haven't you seen that, Nooney?
Yeah, I think it was named after, like, 5 different names. Is that the one with the kids in the abandoned mental place or whatever?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was pretty average as hell.
Really? I thought it was good.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't, like, terrible, but it just didn't, like, grab me too much. I don't know. I thought there were some cool things, but then, you know, some average things, too. I don't know. I guess that's just kind of average.
Yeah, well, you know, it is no Fear the Evil, that movie that you like, so you know.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It is no Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Oh, look at that. We just lost Nudie. Oh, what a shame.
You know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I guess I prefer when Marcus Nispel does remakes, apparently. Okay, and just like Nudie said, I did go to see Krampus yesterday, and holy shit, I freaking loved it. I'm not going to say too much, but I just say you need to see it. This is a new Christmas classic.
Cool.
Jump Scarapalooza, right?
Not really. Like, maybe just a few, but wasn't like shock full of them.
Maybe I'll go see it tomorrow.
Yeah, and yeah, like Willis was saying the other day, a lot of practical effects. There were some CGI points, but I can kind of forgive that with all the practical they had. One point reminded me of like something along Gremlins, also Puppet Master as well. That's all I'm going to say. You just need to see it. It is just so fucking awesome.
Plus, oh shit, speaking of Puppet Master, I saw a news story that there might be another sequel in the works.
Yeah, I saw that too.
You didn't mention it, bitch!
I didn't see it in iHorror.
It's supposed to be the end of the series, I think. Or the final battle or something, right?
I guess.
Who knows, but that series needs to fucking end right now.
I haven't watched anything past the first one, actually.
Oh, you didn't watch the one with Corey Feldman playing an old man? That was a classic.
But I also will say about Krampus, David Kochner, he was one of the best parts of the movie, and Berta from Two and a Half Men was in it as well, and man, she was so close to stealing the show.
Is she a maid?
Nope, she's actually the aunt. It was almost the same character, though. Still quite as much of a smartass as she is on Two and a Half Men. She had some of the best lines, which I will not mention. You just have to watch it for yourself.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So, that...
Nu, do you want to throw out what you've been watching?
He just did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm so lost today. Not even funny.
Oh, you're so on top of things.
Hey, you're the one who keeps the show on track, bitch.
Oh, I guess also anyone watched the new trailer for the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
No, I saw it was gonna be released today, but I haven't actually seen it.
How about you, Nudie?
Nope, not yet.
Yeah, this one's got Bebop and Rocksteady in it, and Casey Jones, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, Seamus plays one of those characters, Bebop or whatever. So Willis will love it.
Well, I guess that's it for the opening segment, so I think you're going first, Scott, right?
Yeah.
All right.
He's already yawning. Scott's such a bundle of energy.
Yeah, man, I know, right?
Okay, so what song are you putting in?
I am putting in an Atreyu song. Right. And the song's title, I can't fucking remember half the time, so there you go.
Alright, well, if any of you recognize Atreyu, you'll probably recognize it. Okay, so we will take a break and then come back with episode 1, The Ripper.
Respect. You've never been on the wrong side of a
And we are back after that really, really, really long break.
Fuck you. You could have said, I'm ready any point. But
no. I was ready since we ended last segment, okay, bitch?
Mm-hmm. You just say something. God damn it. tensions on this show. God damn it.
All right. Give me the news and shit.
All right. Episode 1, The Ripper. Premiered on September 13th, 1974. Wonder if that was a Friday.
Crickets. Insert crickets.
And of course, the one major star of the show is, of course, Darren McGavin as Carl Kolchak. And I think other people would recognize him from A Christmas Story, too. And a bunch of other people, like names I don't really recognize. Nobody you've seen these episodes. Anyone on this particular episode went on to do other things?
Throw that at me. Let me look at my book. My old trusty book here. Go ahead and keep talking while I look.
Okay. I don't know what. Directed by Alan Barron. Did a lot of TV shows such as Love Boat and Charlie's Angels.
No, there's not really anybody in this episode that was like you know, really popular. I mean, the main characters in the show, they've done other things, but this one here doesn't really have any star turns, you know.
Okay.
Although a lot of the other episodes in the series do.
Oh yeah, especially my episode. We'll get there.
The captain. Captain Warren in this episode, he did do some Twilight Zone episodes, and he was on an old Star Trek episode, but that's about it, really.
Okay. Well, ready when you are, Scott.
All right, well, this episode starts out with Kolchak narrating.
If by chance you happen to be in the Windy City between May 28th and June 2nd of this year, you would have had very good reason to be terrified. During this period, Chicago was being stalked by a horror so frightening, so fascinating, that it ranks with the great mysteries of all times. It's been the fictional subject of novels, plays, films, even an opera. Now, here are the true facts.
Like I said before, I'm so glad I don't have to do dialogue. I'm a lazy bitch, okay. Get through with it. We go to a strip club. We don't get to see any boobies.
Shame. And
we see a guy kill this stripper. I really want to see her knockers, man.
70s knocker.
Hey, it's boobs are still boobs.
Could have seen that 70s bush, too.
That's all we would see.
Well, 3 days later, another girl gets it. And Kolchak, he's in his office, and he's getting chewed out. Or he's in his boss's office. Sorry. He gets chewed out. He gets set on this Dear Emily detail. I don't know what the hell that shit is.
I think it's sort of like those Dear Abby thingies.
Yeah. Advice column.
Mm-hmm. Well, he gets annoyed and walks out. We cut to another girl getting killed. And here we go. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Kolchak hears about this, and he heads to the scene where these cops have the Ripper surrounded, but he eventually ends up getting away because he jumps from a 4-story building.
They shoot him 100 times!
Well, Carl, he's at his desk writing a report, but his boss sees this, and he starts bitching once again, because, you know, Kolchak, he's in trouble from earlier, I guess. Someone comes in and says, you know, how horrible the accident was, and he asks if he can go home, because, you know, he's a big pussy.
Uptight.
Uptight.
Well, Carl goes to this press conference, and he doesn't really receive any answers, because, you know, nobody ever wants to talk to the press. Carl, he takes a girl out, and, you know, he tries to get any information that he can. What's her name? Jane? Something like that.
Yep, Jane.
I didn't care, she was a fat bitch.
Jane Plum is fat. She talks a lot about water retention, big bones, but I have to believe the 6 or 8 meals a day with snacks in between to keep up her strength has a lot to do with it. And Plum is a reporter, however. We have mutual respect, mutual trust.
I don't trust you, Kolchak. You double-cross your own fairy godmother for a story.
Why, Jane, how can you say a thing like that? You know me better than that. Tell me, what was in the letter?
What have you got to trade?
How about a sack of Dear Emily letters, sodden with the tears of humanity, great reference material, 4 novels in it at the very least.
I'll have a tongue sandwich, triple-decker, a side of fries, macaroni salad, a root beer float, 2 scoops, and a piece of pecan pie.
Chili.
My editor wants me to come up with a series of features on the murders, but I can't come up with an angle. You know the sort of junk we print, lurid, sensational. Got any ideas?
Yeah, lots of them.
Well?
Well?
Okay. Besides what Warren said, the letter also had a P.S., a rhyme. And now a pretty girl will die so Jack can have his kidney pie.
I don't get it.
The murderer cut out her kidneys. Just like the original Ripper. There have been a lot of these mutilation murders all over the world. It's a contagious psychosis.
Oh, Jane.
That's my theory, and I've checked it out with a few psychiatrists. There's a definite pattern to the killings. They seem to come in bunches.
Hookers?
Mostly. Some semi-pros. There was an Italian who specialized in flower girls. Mm-hmm. Just remembered 5 of them.
Okay. I got a great headline for you. Cannibalism.
Cannibalism. Oh, I love it. Thanks, Kolchak.
The Ripper goes and kills another girl, but, yeah, Carl, he tries to investigate, but, you know, he can't. He sees there's a traffic jam right down the street, and really funny lines coming up. A man tells Kolchak he hit him, and he just walked away, and Kolchak's like, he just walked away?
You're talking about him as if he were a man. That part of him died years ago.
This was released on Friday the 13th, by the way, Jake.
Ah, I was right.
Woo-hoo. First time for everything. Go ahead, Scott.
Kolchak gets caught trying to research about the Ripper. And he heads out once again. Well, the boss sees that Carl's been just, tossing aside these Miss Emily letters. And, that doesn't make him too happy. Kolchak goes to eat with Jane again and tells her about his theory that this is the original Ripper from 1888. He heads to the joint from last night, but he ends up getting arrested for trying to peep on the girls.
You're a tennis player?
What? No. No, why?
Because your shoes are so funny.
I run a lot.
Ah, I see.
Miss, what's your name? Susan? Susan. Listen, Susan, I didn't really come here for a massage.
You didn't?
No. See, I think something is going to happen here tonight. It could happen right here in this room.
And you want to be here with your camera recorder?
That's right. Now, if there was some place that I could wait, hide, I wouldn't disturb anybody.
Well, you can watch.
Yeah, that's right! Oh, don't get the wrong idea. Please. My name's Carl Kolchak.
Hello, Carl.
Hi, Susan.
I'm Officer Cortazzo, and you're under arrest. Phil!
What?
Shame on you, Kolchak.
Now, wait.
Lewd proposal. He wanted to watch me with someone.
No, wait a minute, Phil. Come on, you know me.
I always thought you were straight, Kolchak.
Well, I am. I am straight.
These are his too, Phil.
Look.
It's Warren gonna love
this. No, wait, Phil. Now, wait a minute. Would I be caught dead in a place like this if I weren't here under assignment?
Now, wait a minute. This is all a mistake. Listen, will you let me put my shoes on, please? Look, will you please let me... There's glass all over the joint here.
I just want to watch.
Yeah, that's the undercover chick right there.
Yeah. We see
the
Jack.
Cover was actually pretty hot, too.
Damn right she was.
Yeah. What kind of place was that? Was that like just like a massage parlor or something?
Yeah, with happy endings.
Well, we see Jack going back as well, but, he gets ambushed by the cops, and, they start chasing him, but, or do they actually catch him? I don't think they ever said it.
No, this is when he gets on the fence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do catch him, yeah.
I must have been just writing so much I couldn't fucking pay attention that close.
Yeah, he tries to get away, but he runs into an electrified fence, so the electricity stops him.
Well, Kolchak gets set free, and, he tries to tell the people that, it's Jack from 1888, but, no one wants to believe him. But, Jack, he fucking escapes from breaking down this steel door. Because he's got superhuman strength. Well, Carl, he thinks electricity is the way to stop the Ripper. So, he heads to his office looking for this Miss Emily letter from this old lady telling him about this guy with x-ray eyes or whatever. I don't know how the fuck she would know that, but... Well, he tries to find the letter so he can stop the Ripper, and he ends up going to go see the old lady. She tells Kolchak the guy went to see this fat girl. He leaves to go investigate this guy's house, and I don't know what he does. He like turns on the electricity or something from like his car. I don't know. What the hell did he do? It was like really, really dark. He couldn't really see.
He set up jacks from the car, the jumper cables, to the fuse box at the house.
Well, he goes inside and, he finds the Ripper's things, and we see the Ripper coming home. The Ripper, he's putting his shit away, and Kolchak screams like a little bitch. He got scared. I was like, no, you idiot, when I was watching this. It's like, what a dumbass. He fucking falls to the ground and shit. He tries to run away, but he falls over this railing onto the ground, and you know he just keeps bumping into shit.
Always breaks his camera or his recorder.
Yeah, I loved it when he's just got both those doorknobs off the door as well.
Well, he ends up getting outside, and he runs to this pond where he has this cord, and the Ripper walks into the pond and gets electrocuted. And I guess, you know, it kills him. And the last thing we see is the boot on Kolchak's desk, and that boot was discontinued over 70 years ago. Dun, dun, dun.
70 years ago.
Right, but as he killed the Ripper, he also burnt down the house because the fuse box couldn't control all the electricity going with the water and stuff, so it burnt away all the evidence, too.
Yeah, and we roll credits.
Okay. So.
That's the part, like, every episode, he usually falls over shit, trips over shit, breaks his camera or his recorder, and somehow the evidence always gets destroyed or suppressed.
Yeah, shitty luck right there, bro. All right, Jake.
How about we let our guest go first, actually?
What are we rating? We have a rating system here?
Yeah, well, you just... Yeah, just talk about your thoughts on it and see our ratings go best, pretty good, just okay, bad, and piece of shit. I imagine right. You probably won't give out many pieces of shit ratings, though.
There's a few on Kolchak that I'm not a huge fan of, but yeah, this episode, if you've watched the first two movies that preceded the series, then it's kind of a wash, rinse, and repeat kind of a story. I mean, it's a different character, you know, with Jack the Ripper and all that, but it's kind of a lot like the first two movies. But it's still a pretty good episode to kick off the series. I wouldn't say best, but I guess pretty good. It's a pretty good episode. It's not boring. I mean, it's interesting how they try to kick off the lore of Jack the Ripper. It's one of the good ones in the series, I would say.
All right. Well, you know, this is probably my first exposure to Kolchak. I want to say maybe my mom maybe showed me a few episodes when I was younger, but I don't quite remember them. So I would say, yeah, this is my first exposure. And, you know, I do like the character, you know, just kind of a bumbling idiot, just trying to get his nose into things.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, as you go on with the series, the characters in the newsroom, they're like a big giant family, you know, like your work family. And him, the relationship between Kolchak and the editor Vincenzo, it's an amazing thing to watch as the show goes on.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I thought the idea of bringing the Ripper back from the dead, that is a pretty interesting idea too, yeah. He's just some sort of unstoppable killing machine, except when electricity gets involved. So, I don't know much else to say about it. Also, plus, I guess I do want to say that ending is when we first see his face, right?
The Ripper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, you know, the way they kept hiding him. I expected him, like, you know, expecting it to be some sort of Scooby-Doo type thing.
Well, that's another trope of the show where the monsters are always in the shadows for the most part because of the budget of the show. You know, okay. You're talking, in the 70s, they didn't have, you know, millions of dollars to waste on a TV show, you know. And so I don't know what they put their budget on, but it wasn't the look of the monsters of the week, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I was expecting it to be some sort of Scooby-Doo type thing, like, oh no, it's Old Man Crothers! Would have gone away with it too if it weren't for you damn kids!
His magical elixir makes him strong.
Yeah, so I'll probably go with pretty good rating as well.
Alright, let's see if I can do this. Alright, first time I attempted to watch this series, I fell asleep watching the first episode. I got really bored, you know. I haven't really tried watching, like, old TV shows, old movies at that time. But, you know, watching it again for this show, you know, doing the notes on it, it was a pretty interesting episode, you know, pretty interesting concept. You know, bringing all these monsters into the real universe, kind of like what they did with, you know, Supernatural or, you know, some of the other shows that are out there that involve monsters. You know, I enjoy watching that kind of shit. And, you know, I'm have to agree with you guys, pretty good rating. You know, I'll continue watching the series.
Yeah, the this show is kind of the launching point for a lot of those kind of shows. Like, the X-Files, the creator X-Files says that Kolchak is what gave him the idea of the X-Files. And I believe Supernatural, some of the writers on there as well, are big Kolchak fans.
Yeah. Didn't Darren McGavin appear on one episode of the X-Files, too?
Yeah, he's on a few of them, yeah. Yeah, he played like a reporter or some shit in couple of the episodes of X-Files. I believe it was a reporter or an ex-FBI agent, yeah. Something like that. Before he died, of course.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay, so I guess we said all we could say about that first one, so we'll take a break. A not too long break.
Well, the listeners will never know what we're talking about.
Yeah, behind the scenes shit. I'll be plugging in Butcher Babies Monsters Ball. I've been wanting to put that in an episode for a while. So here it is right here. Then we'll come back to talk about the zombie.
The weary, the ones who wander out, the cyclone who flushed this cold water.
Welcome back. I am talking episode 2, The Zombie, from September 20th, 1974. As always, we got Darren McGavin and the other usual crew. Also in this one, we got Antonio Fargas, Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. And the biggest name right here, Scatman Crothers. Scatman Crothers from a lot of things, such as The Cook in The Shining, Jazz in Transformers, the original Transformers cartoon, mind you. And what was it you said, Nudie? Hong Kong Pooey?
Yep, Hong Kong Pooey. He did a lot of cartoon character voices back in the day.
Yeah, he does got that kind of voice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Well, that's enough I need to talk about, so yeah, let's jump into it. So, we start off in this trailer in the middle of nowhere with this group called the Syndicate, counting their money.
Popular folklore would have us believe that there exist in the underworld ruthless men who fear nothing. This story should debunk that myth. August 14th, 2 a.m. While the upper strata of the syndicate were accustomed to dealing in millions, the foundation of their fortune was here in their counting houses in the small change of the numbers racket. Mr. Albert Berg, head collections man, a graduate of an Ivy League business school, he was an incompetent even by syndicate standards. The only smart thing he'd ever done was marry the boss's sister. Willie Pike, he'd never been convicted of anything by anybody except the boxing commission. Willie took a dive into the canvas and on through into the bulletproof car set. Willie was making a bundle he would never get to spend.
Some character's name, Albert Burks, William Pike. Well, suddenly, something starts breaking into this trailer. Just breaks the board, and these guys are getting ready to shoot at whatever's breaking in. But this thing, it just breaks in and kills everybody. And, you know, just like the last movie, episode, we don't even see who this thing is. So, we get to the newsroom. Kolchak's writing down his story. The secretary, Monique, she's supposed to give it to Vincenzo, yeah.
Vincenzo.
Vincenzo, yeah.
Vincenzo.
Italian. Well, he's telling Kolchak if he wants to take him out for coffee, and he's like, last time we went out for coffee, I ended up in Sioux Falls, Iowa. I just thought that was kind of interesting. So, well, he says he's got a job for him, a police raid with the syndicate, but he can only go under one condition. He has to bring Monique with him, because I guess her uncle's some sort of big name that he, Vincenzo, is friends with.
And yeah, he owns the paper.
Yeah, and she wants to be a big reporter. Not just a secretary, but Kolchak, he's not happy with this. He works alone.
She doesn't have the face to be a reporter.
And he works alone, damn it. But he finally caves in and brings her along. So we break over to this barn where these guys, James and Perry Russo, are being held off in a barn. Finally, a shootout just breaks out, and just as Kolchak and Monique are arriving, Monique, she's trying to get in the middle of the action. The one officer, the captain, Wynn, was yelling, "Get that woman out of here!
Get on! Get on! You'll get your head blown off!" What?
Get that stupid female out of here!
No, wait, I've got an idea.
What?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what you do.
What?
They're going to run back here in this side here and get a shot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
get
in there, honestly. Yeah, yeah, you get inside there. You get some pictures.
Okay.
Get that stupid girl out of here.
I'm assuming he's saying that just because 70s probably weren't allowed to say bitch then.
Get that slut out of here.
So the captain that you're talking about,
yeah,
he starred in the
Richard Matheson, Little Girl Lost episode of Rod Serling's Twilight Zone.
Oh, nice.
And then in 1985, he became the narrator of the revival of the Twilight Zone movie, the show.
Oh, nice.
And Richard Matheson also wrote the first Kolchak movie, so he's kind of, you know, everybody knows Richard Matheson, well, Last Man on Earth and all that stuff.
Well, Kolchak, he just grabs her and just puts her right in the trunk.
But, like, describe her, though. Like, she's just this typical New Yorkish, you know, she's got that heavy New York accent. She's overweight and klutzy. So
yeah.
It's kind of the comedy tone of the show. And she actually appears in like 3 episodes of the series.
This is a more comedy related episode.
They start to add a lot more comedy to it as it goes. Once the characters like flesh themselves out, you know.
Well, finally, the Perry brothers, I guess they end up dead. I mean, the Russo brothers. That's what I meant. Yeah, Perry brothers. This wasn't an easy episode to keep notes on. I will say that up front right here. So much going on. Well, the captain's not allowing anybody in the barn to see the body, so Kolchak, he has to go to Gordon Spangler, a.k.a. Gordy the Ghoul. And the morgue. And, well, he has to pay him to get some information about all these bodies. So, apparently these guys just died from heavy blows, but they're looking more than heavy blows, actually. There's another body that came in, a black man. Strange thing is, he was brought in last week. And apparently, he's got chicken blood on him.
Chicken blood?
I gotta admit.
In his ear?
I actually gotta admit, when I first heard that, I could have sworn he said chicken butt.
You remember though, like at the time when he's finding out all that stuff, he's talking to Vincenzo on the phone.
Yeah, I was about to get to that.
Oh, okay. But before you go on, John Fiedler, who plays Gordy the Ghoul, he had a pretty big career himself. He was like the voices on the Winnie the Pooh stuff. He was on Buffalo Bill with what's his name? I can't think of the guy's name. Dabney Coleman. He's been on, like, a big character actor. He did all the voices for, like, Tigger and stuff, and I think Winnie the Pooh, and big-time actor.
Oh, yeah. Now you say that, I can kind of hear that voice now.
Actually, he did Piglet's voice. That's who he was.
Yeah, I can actually.
He died when he was 80.
I was like, yeah, the guy's got a very distinctive voice, and, like, wonder if I've heard him somewhere else.
He was in The Emperor's New Groove, and he was the Odd Couple TV show, and he did a lot of stuff, a lot of character acting, you know, on different TV shows, Cosby and L.A. Law, and I think he was on Star Trek, Fantasy Island, all those shows in the 70s and 80s. He was on everything.
Oh, neat.
So he was a pretty big, you know, big-time actor himself. Get Smart. Yeah, you know, so the man's been on everything.
Wow. Yeah. So that's dude he was mentioning. Kolchak gets a phone call from
Vincenzo.
Vincenzo. I'll get it right one of these days.
Okay, Magoo. Wooder.
Well, he's complaining about the treatment of Monique, but Kolchak, while he's on the phone, he keeps talking to Gordy about all the things, so he's actually kind of confusing him. I don't know, I can do this justice, so I'll just insert the clip of it on here. It's actually a very funny clip, right?
Chicken blood before, and that's what that guy had in his ears.
Chicken blood?
County Morgue, Spangler. Oh, hold on, it's for you.
Chicken blood?
That's right.
Listen, Kolchak, Monique is going to call her Uncle Abe. Abe the Smiling Cobra.
In his ear?
That's right.
Kolchak, what are you talking about?
What happened?
They buried him.
Buried him?
Bury who? Abe Marmelstein? If she gets to him, he's going to come down on me like a ton of
chicken blood.
Whatever. Then I'm going to have to come down on you.
Why?
That's management.
I don't know.
You're going to have to apologize to her.
Can you help me?
Yeah, I think I can convince her to come to the phone. Now, you hang on.
Help you?
Yeah, you know, the what, where, who, how, and why.
Well, yeah, I guess so. For a fee.
For a fee. Terrific. Terrific. Yeah, hello. Hello.
Listen, Monique, I think everything's going to be all right. He's going to apologize to you. Hello?
I'm listening. Hello? Hello? I'll kill him!
This is where I said about the comedy aspect.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, so there's another like press conference and another thing where Kolchak keeps trying to ask some questions. Brings up the black guy that was there that no one seemed to mention. And he gets to the cemetery where apparently this guy's getting buried again. And he keeps asking some questions to the captain, and you can see he's getting tired of Kolchak's shit. So he goes back to Gordy, and he learns the name of this guy, Francois Edmonds, a syndicate hit, and saying maybe these Russo guys took his body to look at it after the autopsy, but that doesn't make any sense. So he tells him about the black numbers operators. Is that what it was, Nudie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So goes over to the shop to get a number, and this is where we meet Scatman Crothers.
Oh, you want the lucky number!
Yeah. Not quite the usual voice I'm familiar with him, but yep, that was him. Not the...
It's a Jamaica, man.
I was recognizable for that voice he had in Shining and Transformers. That's a very poor impersonation, too! But around this time, Sweet Stick Weldon comes along with his gang. They're like intimidating Kolchak, and he's talking about how he wrote an article about him, calling him the Duke of the South Side. Now he doesn't like his article. He's like, "Oh, that was my brother. Shoot, what was the name he gave?"
Sidney Kolchak, or did he use that one when he was talking to the mobster guys? I'm not sure.
Sydney came later. I had that written down, but
I think it was Casey. Casey Kolchak.
Well, either way, they don't like his story, so they just break his tape and then just kick his ass.
Hey, you don't got your number.
My, aren't these dolls interesting, aren't they? They really... You go right on ahead and wait on these gentlemen here. I'm just browsing. No, wait. Please, we're getting a little tangled up here, fellas. If you can just... Okay, now can I have my...
You know who I am, Mr. Kolchak.
Well,
Bernard Sweetstick Weldon. You once described me in an article as being the Duke of the Southside Numbers Fiefdom. An all-around civic headache. You remember now?
No, that's a mistake. Now, that's my brother, Marshall Kolchak. He's the one with the big mouth.
Poppy and some of the other boys say you've been trying to place a numbers bet all day. But they say you're more interested in names than numbers. Like Francois Edmonds. Public don't want to read about a young man cut down in his prime.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more, actually. That's exactly what I told my editor this morning. I mean, I didn't want to come down here and pry around. I mean, he's dead, isn't he? I mean, Francois is dead.
He's dead. And the story's dead. Understand?
Yes, I think I see your point. Could I ask you just one question? Did you know the deceased personally?
Poppy, you're going to have to blow the wax out of this man's ears. He don't understand when people talking to him.
I understand. I read around. I finally understand.
Well, Kolchak hears about there's a meeting between the syndicate and the black number operators. Then he goes to this guy called the Monk to get information where they'll be meeting. He finds out what's going on in this garage. So he sets up there and sets up this tape recorder to record everybody. So Mr. Spasado and Sweetstick, they have a meeting. They're thinking it's one of Sweetstick's men that have been killing all Spasado's men. He's like, I ain't nothing to do with that. So the meeting breaks up, and Kolchak, well, he gives away his location by rewinding the tape, and it's very loud, so they capture him. He starts asking questions, and apparently Spasado remembers him as well from seeing, and this is where he gives that name, Sidney Kolchak. Well, they're about to kick his ass, but he says he knows who's been doing all this. It's Edmund, Francois Edmund. And they're like, well, nice try, he's dead. But he's like, no, he's not dead. In fact, I can show you his grave. So they take him to the cemetery, and he digs up the grave. There's no Edmund in there. Then somebody comes along, again hidden in the dark, and bullets can't seem to stop him, and a few more guys get killed. And in come the police, they catch Kolchak in this open grave with a bunch of dead bodies in there, and he just kind of just sits there like, yeah, yeah, whatever. So
I shot it more than six times.
So the mobster guys there,
mm-hmm.
Those guys too are pretty well known back in the day as well. The one of the actors who died in the gravesite there, he was on The Sopranos a few times, and all those 70s and 80s shows, Quincy, MASH, Fall Guy, BJ and the Bear, Galactica, all that shit. All these, like, you see these guys, if you were around back then and you watched the show, you'd recognize all these guys, but, you know, because it wasn't made in, you know, your time, you know, you guys wouldn't recognize them, but they are all pretty much guest stars. So, I guess in the 70s, everybody guest starred on all these shows, not like today where you're on one show, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, like, to see all these different actors. And the guy who plays the main boss, he was in Hang 'Em High with Clint Eastwood and Rescue Me, just most recently Rescue Me in 2010. So they're still out there, still doing their thing, and they're just, you know, decent actors, and they're all over the place.
Well, Vincenzo, help me out.
What are we doing?
So you could do this one on your own.
Vincenzo.
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 Vincen. Say Chen like a Chinese man. Vincen.
Chen.
Yes, Vincenzo.
Vincenzo.
There you go.
He looks Chinese, so just think Chen.
All right, then. Vincenzo has to come and pick up Kolchak at the station. And Kolchak is given...
Telling he them shows that, up in his pajamas and his, yeah. And his rope. Yeah. And his slippers.
Yeah. So Kolchak's telling him he thinks it's Edmund's. But Edmund's dead, and Vincenzo is like, well, lucky him, at least he gets to sleep. And he's telling them he thinks he's been turned into a voodoo zombie. But, yeah, of course, nobody believes him.
What did he do? Now, please don't tell me the details, just what did he do?
Grave desecration, one count.
Oh, mamma mia. Oh.
Suspected theft of corpse. Man involves several health law violations. The most serious problem is a homicide. We found Kolchak an arm's length away from a fresh corpse, Victor Friese.
What did you do to the guy? Pester him to death? Kolchak, what's going on? Talk! Say something sensible!
He'll put me in jail for a year if I open my mouth.
Tell him. I saw Victor Friese get his back snapped. I heard it crunch. And the man that did it was dead. Dead! And had been dead for over 2 weeks.
Well, I envy him. At least he's getting some sleep.
How do you know that this individual was dead, Kolchak? Did you smell formaldehyde in his breath? He wasn't breathing.
You were there.
We both saw him put into his grave. We saw the casket lowered into the grave. We didn't see if Edmunds was in it. Now, I think the body was exhumed by some cult. However, I didn't want to speculate as to the purpose. After all, these are Haitians. They're people from a foreign country.
Yeah, that's right, especially Francois Edmunds. He, sir, is from hell itself.
And how is this stiff walking Kolchak? How is he doing it? Who's pulling the strings?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I've been doing some research. It's voodoo. Francois Edmunds has been turned into a zombie. Now, the process that activates him has something to do with chicken blood and corn kernels.
Get him out of here.
Enough for one night, Carl. Enough. Let's get out of here. Enough. Let's get out of here.
Let me go. So he goes back to the monk and tells her about Mama Louise Edmunds. So he goes to visit her, and apparently she's expecting him. He goes up to the door. She's like, "Oh, Kosha, call me in." She's saying that she wasn't at his funeral because she'd be deported if she was caught. She's an immigrant. So she had two guys pick him up to burn him, but he's like, "No, I don't think he's burnt." And she tried to give some remedies, like something for his back, but he's like, "No, thank you." So he's about to go back to his car, but he spots something. There's a dead chicken in the garbage can. So he sneaks back in and sees they're doing some sort of ritual. And there's some names being written down. One of them is Winwood, the captain. And even Kolchak's name is on there. So something's going on. So the captain comes over to the news station and starts complaining about all the fire hazard around this place. And Kolchak starts questioning him, saying if he had anything to do with Edmund's death. I mean, why else would she be going after him? And he starts talking about all the things to kill a zombie. Kolchak's about to go out again, but Monique has to come with him again, to his dismay. Well, he comes along, and Sposato's gang and Sposato himself, they're all getting killed by the zombie. And Monique, she sees this, and she's, like, kind of frozen in shock. So he just puts her into a cab and tells the cab to go over to Brooklyn. He sees this figure going onto a bus, and he's too late to catch it, but he at least jumps on the back of this bus and starts riding it that way. Risky move right there. See if it pays off for him, Cotton. And what's strange about this, I was just thinking about, guess this guy, Bobby guy, just got on this bus, and like, nobody's thinking that's kind of strange. Nobody else sees the way this guy looks.
Right. He never paid the fare.
Jeez.
Well, this all just walked on the bus and didn't pay the fare. Plot holes.
This all ends up in a junkyard, and Kolchak sneaks around and he finds Edmund sleeping, and this is a perfect time to catch him. Because apparently what you gotta do is pour salt into their mouth and sew their mouth shut. Well, he gets the salt in, but right as he's about to start sewing the mouth shut, Edmund just wakes up, and again, Kolchak just freaks the fuck out and just like, and runs off. Well, he spots this kind of a Shane thing just hanging around, so he gets Edmund to walk into it and just hangs him. And this is the perfect time to kill him. And of course, again, his camera breaks. So he's got no evidence. Though, he gets back to the office and apparently Uncle's kind of happy that Monique went off to Brooklyn. He didn't even want her there. And we're all learning that Madame Louise got deported. Winwood ended up quitting the force anyway. And Edmund just got reburied for the third time. And it all closes up saying, "You can check to see if his body's still there, if you dare."
With my camera in pieces, Captain Winwood's story of innocence was intact. He never stood trial for murder. My proof was gone. But that doesn't mean my story was false. Quite the contrary.
Where's Monique? Her uncle's on the phone, worried sick.
She's in a cab on the way to Brooklyn.
She's in a cab on the way to Brooklyn. What? What'd you say? You're delighted? You didn't want her here in the first place? Well, why? Why? I mean, why?
Item. Mamaloa Edmonds was deported to her native country only one day after the events of the junkyard. Item. Captain Leo Winwood was relieved of duty for, quote, reasons of health, unquote. Item. Francoise Edmonds, the deceased, was buried a third time at public expense. A third time. However, this time, rock salt was poured in his mouth and his lips were sewn shut. City officials will deny this, but you can see it for yourself if you'd care to venture out to St. Lucie Cemetery and exhume the corpse. Be my guest, if you've got the nerve.
Road trip.
So the dude who played the zombie played football with the San Diego Chargers.
Oh, nice.
I guess this was after his career, but yeah.
Yeah.
And the cemetery dude, the old man from the cemetery, his name is J. Pat O'Malley. He's another classic dude. He's been in one of the Twilight Zone episodes and been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The old man's funny.
All right, Nudie, what do you think about this episode?
I like this one a lot. This is one of my go-to episodes when I decided to watch a Kolchak show. I just think the ending is really, really like the creepiest, probably one of the creepiest scenes in this whole series when he's crawling through that graveyard at night and you keep expecting the zombie to wake up as he's trying to do what he's doing to him. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty scary. I mean, especially, you know, talking when I was a kid watching this show, that was a pretty creepy shit. Even though there's no gore or anything like we're used to now, it's still pretty scary. So I like this one a lot. What is your thing again?
Best,
pretty good?
Best, pretty good, okay, bad, piece of shit.
I'm going to say, I can't say best because this isn't the best of the episodes. So I'm going to say pretty good because I want to save the best for the best, what I think is the best. So
fair enough.
Yeah, I say pretty good.
Okay. Scott, how about you?
You know, this one was pretty good compared to the first one. This one had a lot more comedy aspect to it. You know, I enjoy that kind of stuff in a horror movie. And, you know, I think the zombie, he looked really freaking cool, you know. He looked all blocky and decayed and whatnot, or I think that's how you say it. You know, I mean, these episodes are pretty cool, you know, like I said, they're supernatural sort of monsters. You know, I like that kind of stuff, and, you know, I enjoy watching these kinds of things, so I'm going to go pretty good as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to give this the best as well, because I definitely enjoyed this a lot more than the first one. I just don't think I can yet. I mean, since I'm kind of a newbie to the show, I mean, maybe once I get through this whole series and start rewatching, maybe I'll get. But for now, I'll just give it a pretty good. Maybe what I definitely liked was the comedy. I mean, they amped up the comedy a lot more in this, and I felt that made me connect with the characters much more than the first one did. And yeah, Zombie was pretty damn cool looking when we saw him. Kind of freaky, yeah, when he opened his eyes. I can't say I'd blame Kolchak for that freak out he had.
It makes you wonder, did they script that shit?
I don't know. If not, he's a pretty damn good actor.
You don't need to act.
Good actor.
You don't need to act to be scared shitless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise I think you guys pretty much said it all. So, yep. Now, this show's definitely starting out pretty damn good.
Can't wait to do more.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anything else to say?
No, not in this episode. It's right up there, one of the best of the Kolchaks, for sure.
Okay. Well, for the first time in weeks, we've got feedback. Double feedback.
First time in a month.
Yeah. So, I'd say we take a break. Nudie's requesting a song, some Alice Cooper. We will plug that in, and we'll come back to read that and tell you what we're doing next time.
Been bad. fist and yell.
And we are back. We've got feedback.
Yeah, double feedback from Stan. Good going, Stan, making up for the month break you took.
You fucker.
All right, so here's what he has to say. Hey, guys, Stan here. Sorry, I've been behind on feedback lately. I usually listen to podcasts at work, but I've been training an employee and haven't been able to listen to them. That's understandable. That's when I listen to my podcast, too. That coupled with Thanksgiving has put me behind. That's so understandable. I haven't seen any of the movies you've covered in your last few shows except Zack and Miri, which I saw in the theater the day it came out. Halloween 2008. Oh yeah, I forgot it came out. Halloween. I probably saw it a week later though. It's a funny movie that's dirty as hell and yet still has a sentimental Kevin Smith ending. Definitely a good watch. Finally, I want to say fuck you to Jake if he knocks me out of the playoffs. Ha ha ha. Catch you later. And fuck you too, Stan. Ha ha ha.
Well, you did knock him out of the playoffs for now.
Yeah. Let's see. Next up, Stan again, finally caught up. A few quick things. Scott, how can you not recognize Tom Savini and Zack and Miri? Come on, man. Nothing.
Oh, you're asking me a question.
you want to respond to that part?
Oh man, I didn't realize it was him. You know, I haven't seen his face in like 20 years.
And like I said, so. It hasn't really changed that much.
Well, he was dressed like a Russian. It looked like so. It looked a lot different.
And let's see. And also, he says, "And Jake, your ass is going down this week. I can't believe I'm rooting for Nudie, but there it is."
there it is.
And the unlikely event, I am rooting for Ballsack to Stan. Yeah. If
keep saying unlikely event, it's very likely you're gonna go down, Jake.
Well, I just want to say one thing, Nudie. I've noticed everything. Since the second half of the season just started, it's been the opposite result of each win and loss. You know, because first time around I lost to Ballsack, but then I beat him. I lost to Scott and Craig this time around, but I beat them the first time around. So, yeah, it seems to be opposite this time around, and you beat me last time, so watch your mouth,
I'm
boy.
I'm beating you again this time. So, be ready.
You're going down, bitch.
I don't want you to be crying, but, you know, you're done.
I'm going to be crying.
I'm in first place, and I'm staying there.
I'm going to be crying with laughter.
I would laugh my ass off if Nudie gets knocked out and I get to first place.
Yeah, you have to root for me. And
even if I lose and you win, Scott, you still can't overtake me because I have more points. That's the tiebreaker. I have the highest point total in the league, and I have the fourth highest points against, but I have the highest point total. But I've also made 35 moves to Ballsack's 27. But that's what you got to do in fantasy. You got to make moves. I just kicked off. I just got rid of my kicker because he got me 5 points the last 6 weeks. Time to make a change there.
I am never getting rid of Gostkowski.
Well, no, you can't get rid of him. But I've had the Denver kicker all year, and he's kind of shit to bed. I'm in trouble as my tight end. I never know from week to week because with Gronk hurt. So now I had to pick up Richard Rodgers and pray that he still does something.
And well, he just wraps it up saying, "Tales from the Crypt Season 1 is awesome. That is all. Catch you later. That's all you have to say.
Smell you later.
Well, thank you, Stan, for the... thank you and fuck you at the same time.
How dare you, Jake? How dare you be rude to our listener?
It's only fantasy-wise. I just want to say, Stan, have fun looking in on the outside in the playoffs with your C-rated draft.
Nudie, I have a feeling it's going to be you and me in the finals.
Oh, whoever it is, they're going to get their ass kicked. Because by that time, all my Patriots will be healthy and be ready to go. Edelman will be back in time, hopefully.
He's so cocky.
Yeah, Lewis won't, but... Well, why am I going to just talk about losing? Lonely losers do that. Jake. Let's see, last time Jake and I played, the score was 159-94. Jake got his butt wiped. And that's going to happen again.
That's all because you had nothing but New England players.
I still do. Just different players now.
Well, I've been looking. Yeah, you've been scoring like something. Well, you haven't been scoring a lot, and I've been scoring a lot, so.
Was that English?
Yo mama.
I don't think so.
This is only our second time playing each other.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Oh, only 2 months until football's over and we can start being nice to each other again. Well, nicer than we have been.
Nicer, yeah. We're not really nice to each other.
Football's fucked us.
Yeah, everyone should have seen the convo me and Nudie had on Saturday. Oh, boy. We traded some nasty blows.
Yeah, you fuckers were blowing up my phone. I'm like, shut the fuck up!
Jake, I was about ready to... On.
I was about ready to delete the app. I was sick of listening to this shit.
Are we recording all this? Awesome.
Yeah, nothing gets left out here.
Well...
Fed upon the Asian, the gays, the blacks, the Italians.
Well, I guess once again, thank you, Stan. If you want to leave feedback like Stan, unholymofos@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can contact me individually at JakeTheSnake54 on Twitter.
I'm at unholymofo1.
Nudie, you want to give out some contact info and talk about your other shows?
Yeah, if you guys like this Kolchak show, go listen to our mine and Gil. We do a show called Guilty as Charged. It's a Kolchak retrospective commentary, so you can watch and listen to us babble over it. We have it on YouTube, so it's a YouTube channel. Just look it up, Guilty as Charged, or on Heartophilia and all that other good stuff. And, of course, you already know about our other show with Jake called NFW Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He's a drunken.
Yes, he is.
I've only been kind of drunk lately just because I've been taking a lot of time off.
Excuses.
It's so nice to be drunk on shows again.
Hey, no one's objecting to you drinking on the show.
Exactly. And they shouldn't.
Hell, it's the afternoon. One in Rome.
So, So what were we discussing or doing next time, Scott?
We are going to continue Tales from the Crypt. We are going to finish off season one. There's only 4 more episodes, so.
Yep.
We're going to alternate between, him doing 2 and I'm going to do 2.
Yep, and, so 1 more episode of TV shows and then we'll be back to movies. Some seasonal time movies. I guess that's really all we could say. Thank you, Nudie, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And feel free to come on the next time we decide to talk about Kolchak.
I will.
Which will be a pain in the ass to do because we got to find a days off for him.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. We always do. Anything else to say?
Later, fuckers.
Until Tales from the Crypt. See ya.
And charity laced with a lie. Still we keep hoping to fix all the defects and strengthen these seminal ties. We go on together for better or worse. Our history is too real to hate. Now and forever we stay until morning to fight for our fates till we die, till we die. The start of the journey is every bit worth it. I can't let you down anymore. The sky is still clearing. Consequence opens the door. I've never stopped trying. I've never stopped feeling like family is much more than blood. Don't go on without me. The beast that I represent compliments each and every one. Till we
never ever take us alive till we die.